listen now for Call to Worship, a half-hour program dedicated to presenting the truth of God's Word. Call to Worship is sponsored by the Zion Chapel in Holland.
There is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunged beneath that flood lose all their guilty stains, lose all their guilty stains, lose all their guilty stains, and sinners plunged beneath that flood lose all their guilty stains. To read today from the Gospel of John, chapter 3, verse 26. And they came unto John and said unto him, Rabbi, he that was with thee beyond Jordan, to whom thou bearest witness, behold, the same baptizeth, and all men come to him. John answered and said, A man can receive nothing except it be given him from heaven. Ye yourselves bear me witness that I said, I am not the Christ, but that I am sent before him. He that hath the bride is the bridegroom, but the friend of the bridegroom, which standeth and heareth him, rejoiceth greatly because of the bridegroom's voice. This my joy therefore is fulfilled. He must increase, but I must decrease. He that cometh from above is above all. And he that is of the earth is earthly, and speaketh of the earth. He that cometh from heaven is above all. And what he hath seen and heard, that he testifieth, and no man receiveth his testimony. And he that hath received his testimony hath set to his seal that God is true. For he whom God hath sent speaketh the words of God. For God giveth not the Spirit by measure unto him. For the Father loveth the Son, and hath given all things into his hand. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. Let's pray that we'll understand these words with John as he gave them to those before him, and God continues to give them to us through this pen of John. John the Apostle, writing of John the Baptist. John the Baptist speaking of Christ. Let's come to the Father in his name. Our Father, we do come to thee asking to be heard because of Christ, not because of ourself. For Father, we cannot think right, we cannot speak right, we cannot do right. As thou hast said, Lord Jesus, without me you can do nothing. And we pray, Father, that Christ might be now given to us by the Holy Spirit, and according to this word, and we might have what we have just read, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. Father, we who are dead in sin, and would choose that way and love that way, we give thanks that there can be that new beginning of everlasting life, raising us from the dead. And we pray, Father, that many might have that today. Many might have that of both Jew and Gentile, that we together might be made to hear the message of the call to repentance and the call to faith, the call also to obedience that follows and can come because of being made thy children through Christ. We pray that the church might be revived. We pray that multitudes throughout the world might be awakened to their dark condition and brought to him who is the light of the world. We pray, Father, for other blessings also, for those in the church, those who are thy children. We pray for those in sorrow, those in suffering, being persecuted, those suffering other ways, the homeless, the hungry, the war-torn lands. Pray for those in older age. Pray for the widows, the widowers. We pray for the sick and the injured. We pray, Father, for thy mercy on all of these. And we pray that especially each and every one might have the mercy and the grace of being taught through affliction to seek first thy kingdom and thy righteousness, with the promise that all these things will be added, all through and because of Christ. Amen. As we continue with the message of John the Baptist who was prophesied of by Isaiah long before both he and Christ were born, Isaiah chapter 40, the voice in the wilderness crying, prepare the way before the Lord, also given by the prophet Malachi, the last prophet of the Old Testament, and there Malachi stating, behold, I send my messenger, and he will prepare the way before me. And then the Lord whom ye seek shall suddenly come to his temple, even the messenger of the covenant, whom ye delight in. Behold, he shall come, saith the Lord of hosts. Both have come. John the Baptist to prepare the way before the Lord Jesus, and the Lord Jesus, of whom John the Baptist could say, behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. He also spoke of him, as we saw in our previous weeks, declaring not only to be prepared to repent, but also to speak those words of Christ that he would give, that John baptized with water. But he said, there cometh one after me, mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to unloose. He shall baptize with the Holy Ghost and with fire, whose fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his floor, and will gather his wheat unto the gardener, but he will come up with chaff, and burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. These were the people who thought of themselves much like we do today in the church. Many just think that all is well. We think that we have had parents that are God's children. We are God's children. All will continue that way. But as it was here, sadly, form, not reality. Form and not rightly being ready for Christ or hearing the voice of Christ, they had to be prepared. John had to say, prepare the way before him. He had to bring that message. He also had to say to them, and think not within yourselves, we have Abraham to our father. For I say unto you that God is able these stones to raise up children unto Abraham. In a way, we might think, God make children in faith to Abraham out of stones. Stones, in a way, are harmless, neutral. They don't move. We are worse than that. What do we often do? What have people done? What did they do with Christ? They took up stones to throw at him. The stones didn't move of themselves, but people picked them up. People took stones later and stoned Stephen, a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. They stoned Paul, even to the point that some thought he was dead because he preached Christ. That's what people do. That's what religious people do. They can do that. Often, they don't believe it. When the Lord Jesus says, why do you go about to kill me? They said, who does? And yet, shortly after that, the gospel writers record how they picked up stones to throw at him. They wanted to do it, they denied they did, and then they did it. Any wonder that Jeremiah had to say, as we saw in weeks and months past, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? The heart is proud, denying sin. The heart is hateful, doing and being guilty of sin. Yes, sin even as murderers. That's what they did. Took up stones. They actually killed Stephen. And what was first? The hatred. The hatred of the truth. That was also true of those who should have known the best, the most sophisticated amongst them, the Pharisees. Paul later called them the strictest sect of the Jews. When they were asked by the Lord Jesus, the ministry of John, was it of heaven or of men? They said, they didn't want to say first. They didn't want to go against the people. The people said John was a prophet, so they didn't dare to say, well, he's just of men. And they didn't want to say of heaven, because then the Lord Jesus would say, why didn't you then give heed to him? Yes, these leaders, the leaders who thought the publicans, the tax collectors, were wicked, the leaders who thought the harlots were wicked, and both were, but both came to know it. Both came to repentance. Both came to enter into the kingdom of God through the hearing and the preaching of John. The Lord Jesus said so. He said, they go into the kingdom of God before you. Could that be today as well? Drunkards, drug users, adulterers, fornicators, other thieves go into the kingdom of God before we who are in the church, religious? Yes, they're just spoken of here, how these people threw stones, killed people. It happened different times, and other times they tried to do it and didn't accomplish their purpose. Yes, it takes people to do that, religious people. Sometimes, as it was true here in this setting, and a little bit later with Stephen, the most religious people in the world, the best taught, did the worst things. And we might say, well, we would never do that. These people were murderers. Murders in two reasons. One is actually with their hands. They picked up a stone together and threw it at a person and killed him. That person died. They were murderers. But they were murderers before they ever picked up the stone. Murderers in their heart. It only takes one murder, to make a person a murderer. There are many people today in prison. They've killed just one person. They're murderers. If they planned that murderer, and it's called first-degree murder, they're in prison for life, without parole, without any hope of, through any way of government, being released. One sin, one time, probably for only a few moments. Before that, they didn't do that, and they didn't repeat the sin. What about those who hate? Like John the Apostle writes later in his epistle, where God inspired him to say, "He that hateth his brother is a murderer." There was one also in the life of John, who long before he was killed, was a murderer. It was a woman, Herod's wife. John had spoken to Herod the king, as well as to the publicans, the harlots, to the Pharisees, to the multitude, all of those that he described as a generation of vipers, both the leaders and the people. We saw that in the previous weeks. But he also spoke to Herod. And we read in Mark chapter 6, first when the Lord Jesus was preaching and doing the wonders, he said, "It is Herod that I'm beheaded. He is risen from the dead." And how did he die? How did he become beheaded? We read in verse 17, "For Herod himself had sent forth and laid hold upon John and bound him in prison for Herodias' sake, his brother Philip's wife, for he had married her." He had married his brother's wife. Verse 18 we read, "For John had said unto Herod, It is not lawful for thee to have thy brother's wife. Therefore Herodias, this woman that Herod had married, had a quarrel against him and would have killed him, but she could not." We don't know for how long that went on. She was a murderer already. She wanted him dead. Finally, she accomplished her purpose. Though Herod is described here as fearing John, knowing he was a just man and holy, and observed him, and when he heard him, he did many things and heard him gladly. Do you see what contradictions can be in the human heart? Herod put John in prison because John had said to Herod, "It is not lawful for thee to have thy brother's wife." And at the same time, we really fear John. He knew John was right. He knew he was holy. He observed him, even to the point where we read, "And when he heard him, he did many things." Many good things. Probably people who didn't like Herod smiled and said, "Herod is listening to John. He's doing many good things. He'll probably become a believer. John is having an influence on him." And we read, "And heard him gladly." But then we read, "And when a convenient day was come, that Herod on his birthday made his supper to his lords, high captains, and chief estates of Galilee." That's where he was ruler. "And when the daughter of the said Herodias came in and danced and pleased Herod and them that sat with him, the king said unto the damsel, Ask of me what thou wilt, and I will give it thee. And he sware unto her, Whatsoever thou shalt ask of me, I will give it thee, even unto the half of my kingdom. And she went forth and said to her mother, What shall I ask? And she said, The head of John the Baptist. And she came in straightway with haste unto the king, and asked, saying, I will that thou givest me by and by in a charger the head of John the Baptist. And again we can see that the king was double-minded. We read, he was exceeding sorry, yet for his oath's sake and for their sakes which sat with him, he would not reject her. And immediately the king sent an executioner and commanded his head to be brought, and he went and beheaded him in prison and brought his head in a charger, and gave it to the damsel, and the damsel to her mother. James tells us, a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. As we said, Herod probably was thought of some people as being swayed, as being influenced, as being instructed, hearing him gladly, doing many things. And even when this daughter of this wicked woman asked for the head of John the Baptist, we read, the king was exceeding sorry. Yet for his oath's sake, he commanded that they would go and behead him. Very likely, not wanting to back down for what he had said before the people that were with him, all these lords and all those who were attending his birthday party, the high captains, the chief estates of Galilee, he had given his word, even to the half of his kingdom. I remember a pastor once preaching on this, Herod's wife, and the terrible way that she hated John, and the terrible result of it, very possibly in hell today. If she and her daughter didn't repent, that's where they are. If Herod didn't repent, that's where he is. Didn't give heed to John the Baptist. Gave heed to their own wishes and whims. Their own stony hearts. Their own deceitful hearts. Yes, Herod was a listener. Herod was one that recognized the truth. Feared John, knowing that he was a just man and holy, and observed him. But once again, no matter how we think of this, we must go beyond John. We must go beyond Peter and Paul. We must go as John instructed us, and as we read from the Gospel of John, telling us about John the Baptist and his words. Listen to them again, as we see them in John chapter 3, where we read how these people came, as it were, probably to make John the Baptist jealous. John, who was baptizing him, and multitudes came to him, and they were all baptized of him. We could read in some of the Gospels. Yes, we read of John the Baptist in many places, as I already said, already in Isaiah, 700 years before this, Malachi, 400 years before this, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John all tell us of this ministry of John in different ways. Some of it directly of what he said, how he called them to repentance, how he instructed them, how he said to them, say not unto yourselves, we have Abram to our father. They in that self-righteous place, that foolish place, and we might say today, many are still repeating that error, that tradition, that lie. Many repeating and saying, yes, as God said to Abram, so he says to us. To us. To us and our children. We can find that in the Anglican Church, many of the Presbyterian churches, many of the Reformed churches, all those that practice infant baptism will think that God gave the covenant of circumcision to Abraham, and now baptism is coming in its place, is what they teach. The Scripture doesn't teach it. You can find it nowhere in Scripture. But it's taught. And supposedly, all children of Abraham, all part of what is sometimes called the Abrahamic covenant. Sometimes the word used, the covenant of grace. Supposedly the covenant made with Abraham, though it's far broader than that. Abraham is only part of that covenant blessing in Christ. But we need to, in all those circumstances, hear the same words. Say not unto yourselves, we have Abram to our father. And we have to get beyond, as I said, John the Baptist. We certainly have to get beyond Abraham. And Paul gives us the answer, as well as John the Baptist. John the Baptist stated here very plainly, think we referred to it last week, but it certainly bears repeating. Chapter 3 of the Gospel of John, verse 27, and John answered, "A man can receive nothing except to be given him from heaven. You yourselves bear me witness," and said, "I am not the Christ, but that I am sent before him." And as we said, Isaiah, Matthew, others, the gospel writers, tell us that he came to prepare the way, open the way, make the path straight, call people to repentance, not to add to their righteousness, but to make them see they had no righteousness, take it away, their self-righteousness. Then he goes on in verse 29, "He that hath the bride is the bridegroom, but the friend of the bridegroom, which standeth and heareth him, rejoiceth greatly because of the bridegroom's voice. This my joy therefore is fulfilled. He must increase and I must decrease." When there is such a thing as a wedding, there is the bridegroom, there is the friend of the bridegroom, all there to honor the bridegroom, all there in his company, but all eyes are on the bridegroom. And John states it rightly. He must increase, but I must decrease. Paul also gives us the message and gives us the same teaching, though not in the same words as John the Baptist when he says, "Say not unto yourselves, we have Abraham to our father." But Paul gives the right answer when he says that he that hath Christ, or if you have Christ, then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. John the Baptist preached to prepare the way before Christ. John the Baptist pointed to Christ. "Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." And you might say, we all know that. Do you? Do you have it more than in a form? And I might even say, more than from the form of infant baptism. Yes, that's a form. It's a tradition. I said carefully, many good men have taught it wrongly. That's what it is. It gives promises that are not in Scripture. And not until you and I and others have Christ. If you are Christ, if you are Christ, oh, hear it, believe it, then are you Abraham's seed. Then are you one with that believer of whom Christ said, "Abraham saw my day and was glad," to whom God said, "In thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed." That seed is Christ. Have you believed on him as a sinner that you are? Vile. One of the generation of vipers who can only be made a child of God through Christ.
Thanks for listening to Call to Worship. If you have questions or comments regarding today's program, you can write to Zion Chapel, 937 Royce Avenue, Holland, Michigan, 49423. Or their email address is worship@calltoworship.org. For more information on Call to Worship and its ministry, check out their website, www.calltoworship.org. Listen again next week at this time for Call to Worship. Praise